All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by the host of Locked On Saints, Ross Jackson, to do a crossover preview of this Falcons-Saints Week 3 matchup.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in and welcome to one of our Locked On NFL Wednesday crossover episodes brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network as well as my bookie. This here, what you're listening to right now, is a crossover episode between Locked On Falcons and Locked On Saints. For the Locked On Saints listeners, my name is Ross Jackson. I am the host of Locked On Saints. You can also find articles in different podcasts as well over at All Saints Considered. And I got the homie with me today. What's going on, man?
It's me, Aaron Freeman, host of Locked On Falcons. You guys can find me on Twitter at FalcFans. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalcFans.com. And I'm happy to be here, Ross, talking with you about this very heated Falcons-Saints rivalry.
I think it was Shannon Sharp was on Twitter not too long ago. I think it was Shannon Sharp, and he was talking about how the Saints and Falcons rivalry is one of the most important rivalries in sports that no one is talking about. And I got to agree with him, man. Like, I mean, we've been playing for years upon years. We, you know, both the Saints and Falcons came in just a year apart from one another, played the first matchup, a preseason matchup that was ever played in the Superdome in 1967. And we've been going at it ever since, man.
Yeah, I always say, like, the Falcons and Saints are two very similar teams, two brothers from a different mother, so to speak. But they just really do not like each other at all. Right. So, right. Yeah.
And, you know, we're here to prove, too, Aaron and I are here to prove that there can be civility amongst these rivalries. Crossover Wednesday is a special time here in the network. It's kind of like Christmas every week. We get together with our family. We get together with our friends. We come through and we provide some great content. So we got some great content coming forward for you in today's episode. We're going to be talking about or previewing this Falcons-Saints matchup in Atlanta. We're going to first talk about what's going to happen, you know, with each team on the field, and then we'll talk about some matchups. And then, of course, at the very end, like we always do, we're going to give some predictions. I promise you mine will be wrong. I'm terrible at predictions. I tell y'all this all the time. I'm terrible at predictions. But, you know, so we're just going to go ahead and kick it off, man. You know, I want to start with the Falcons offense, if that's cool with you. And then just sort of let me know what it is for you. What is it that you're looking for when those Falcons are on the field?
Well, it's going to be interesting because we've seen watching the Saints defense these last couple of weeks, they've been very vulnerable to the big play. We saw sort of Tampa Bay come out in week one and sort of eviscerate that secondary, attacking it down the field with guys like Evans and Jackson. The Browns weren't necessarily as successful doing that, but they did hit a deep ball late in that game to tie it up late. And so it does feel like the Falcons with their, you know, smorgasbord of weapons, namely Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, the rookie, Mohamed Sanu, among others, and seeing if the Falcons can do what some of these other teams have done these past weeks and really put the points up on the Saints defense, really attack them down the field. Because I think given some of the issues that the Falcons will have on defense, which I'm sure we'll touch upon later in the show, they're probably going to need to be able to put up a lot of points. Normally you don't necessarily want to see the Falcons get into a shootout with the Saints, historically speaking, because the Saints have always been a little bit better equipped to handle that, given Drew Brees and, you know, the history of Sean Payton in that offense. But I think really right now the Falcons' best weapon is to make this a shootout, particularly at home, where I think they will have a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if I were, you know, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons going into this matchup, or if I'm any player on there, I'm looking for a shootout. And it's in particular what you said at home, you know. And yeah, you're right. I mean, since Drew Brees has come into the pictures, well, Drew Brees and Sean Payton both came into the picture 2006. The Saints lead the series 16-8. But ever since Julio Jones has joined Matt Ryan, six of those wins came in. Six of those eight wins since 2006 came from, you know, just that point forward. So, you know, having that extra firepower over in Atlanta, and then now having added Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu is a weapon. Tevin Coleman's a weapon that we constantly struggle with in New Orleans, you know, in those games. That's been a big part. And of course, you've won, you know, the Falcons have won three of the last four. So, yeah, I think, I mean, if you're looking for a shootout, I think you might find one this week. We'll talk a little bit more about the over under and stuff like that later. But yeah, I think in particular, when the Falcons are on the field, I'm looking to see if the Saints are able to maintain the pass rush from the Cleveland game. We had no pass rush. There was no pass rush that showed up in New Orleans during the Bucs game at all. The Bucs also happened to be able to neutralize the Eagles pass rush in week two as well. The Bucs just being one of the surprise teams of the league for right now. And so I'm looking to see which of the two different versions of the Saints pass rush travels to Atlanta. No sacks with only 7 pressures against the Bucs, 3 sacks on 12 pressures against the Browns. With Adam Levitre out on that offensive line, Sheldon Rankins in the interior defense or the interior defensive line for New Orleans, I don't want to say they have a better chance, but they're definitely going to try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, most definitely. The Falcons have historically struggled, particularly last season when his dominant season, trying to block Cameron Jordan. And he's typically been a one-man wrecking crew. And one of the questions I've had about the Saints going into the season is, will you get guys like Sheldon Rankins? Will you get guys like Marcus Davenport? You have guys like David Onyemata. Are those guys going to step up and really, you know, take this pass rush to a different level where it's not this sort of this the Cameron Jordan show and then, you know, some supporting pieces. With the injury to Levitre, obviously that is going to be a vulnerability. I think the bright side of that is that the stepping in for Levitre at left guard is going to be Wes Schweitzer, who started all last year at right guard. So it's not as if you're getting a guy that hasn't had any experience and hasn't, you know, had gone up against this Saints defensive line and had experience blocking some of these guys. And hopefully he'll have a little bit more success against them this year than he did it a year ago. And so I think if the Falcons offensive line can hold up really well, they did not do a good job in that week one game against Philadelphia. Matt Ryan was hit 13 times. They did not allow a single sack last week. I think they only allowed 2 hits the entire game against the Panthers. I blanked on who we played last.
That's okay. That happened to me the other day. I was like, who did we play again?
Well, I think it's easier to forget the Browns than it is forgetting the Panthers. But it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, I think if the Falcons offensive line can play like they did in week two as opposed to week one, I think they'll have a huge number of opportunities to really attack this Saints defense. But the big question mark for the Falcons offense is less about personnel. It's really about play calling. Because Steve Sarkisian has not proven himself to be a reliable play caller. You have good games like week one. I mean, you have good games like week two and bad games like week one. And that was sort of the story of 2017 as well. So the Falcons are really going to need Steve Sarkisian to hopefully have turned the corner and really be able to just basically copy what the Bucs did in that week one game. And if he can do that, I think he'll find some success this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the Saints secondary and the Saints second level, the linebackers in particular, are all in the midst of adjustments. Saints are still trying to figure out exactly how to deploy Marcus Davenport. There's so many question marks on the Saints defense that it's an easy time right now to take advantage of vulnerabilities if they show themselves and if they become present. There's one thing that I want to mention because it gives Matt Ryan some credit. We have to, you know, in order for the Saints to really get after Matt Ryan, they need to figure out a way to do it with the front four, because blitzing against Matt Ryan so far this year, he has 11 out of 15 for a touchdown and an interception so far against blitzes, which is a great percentage, but against pressure from down linemen, so when he's pressured but not necessarily blitzed, 12 for 22 with 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. So the key is going to be getting pressure on Matt Ryan but not failing when you blitz, because once one of those linebackers comes in, Matt Ryan knows where to go. I mean, he's been in the league since, when did he come in, 2008?
Yes, 10 years.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. So like, he's got that veteran experience. He knows what he's doing. So he knows when he sees, you know, when he sees a fifth, a sixth person coming through, if he's got 3 wide receivers out there and a tight end, somebody's open if they're in a passing situation. So it's going to be really important. The other thing I want to just quickly throw in there, because I know we're coming up at the end of this segment, but red zone defense for the Saints versus red zone offense for the Falcons. That's going to be big. I don't know which red zone defense is going to show up for New Orleans, and I'm interested to see which red zone offense shows up for Atlanta.
Yeah, again, that, you know, that's a big question mark surrounding Sarkisian. And, you know, the Falcons haven't been a consistent red zone scoring team under Sark. They were 4-for-4 last week. They were 1-for-5 the week before. So you just have these sort of bipolar offense, right now with the Falcons in some of these key areas. And so basically the question is going to be, you know, which side shows up. And if the good one shows up, then I think the Falcons will have a great opportunity to win this game. If it doesn't, then, you know, who knows what's going to be the case. And then that's putting pressure on the defense, which I guess we're going to talk about in just a bit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to tell you, man, this is already a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to what we got coming up next. We've got more about matchups for the Saints when they're on the field on offense. And then we're going to talk about predictions, matchups to watch, keys to victory, that kind of stuff. But first, I mean, right now, like we're hosting both of these podcasts for two teams that have a lot of fantasy football fodder. So I think you got something for our listeners on that.
Yeah, man, fantasy football is definitely underway, and we have two new fantasy football shows on the Locked On Podcast Network for you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every day. Catch Tom Kesenich on Mondays, Tuesdays with Eric Edholm, and Wednesdays, check out Jeff Ratcliffe and Tyler Lochner.
It's good stuff, man. And while you're at it, too, with fantasy football, we got some exciting news for you as well. If you're one of these people that just won't stop hitting me up about who to bet on every week, I keep telling y'all I can't help you. I told you before my prediction is going to be wrong, but y'all keep hitting me up. Y'all are so crazy. But if you're interested and you think that you know who's going to win, we got something for you. My bookie. Make sure you check it out. My bookie online. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, and that's why we always tell people to bet with my bookie. They're your best bet this season, and they've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is so easy to use that I know how to use it. It's crazy. I would never recommend something to my listeners that hasn't been good to me before, so that's why Aaron and I are here urging you to make your way to my bookie, because you win and they pay. They have in-game live betting on over and unders for fantasy points as well. You know, we just talked about fantasy football, and they have the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors right now, and they want to make sure that they give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to wait to deposit until after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 on free play for deposits over $100. So join now. And MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code Locked On to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And again, if you're willing to wait until after 7 p.m., use the promo code Locked On 25 to get an extra $25 free play. It's up to y'all. I mean, if I were you, I'd wait until after dinner to go ahead and do that. Remember, Locked On is the promo code. My bookie is the website. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Joe. So switching over to the other side of the ball with the Saints having the ball, the Saints being on the field, this offense and everything. I want to start over with you again. What are you looking for when the Saints have the ball and are on the field?
Well, I mean, this is going to be a tough matchup for the Falcons, given that they do not have Deion Jones, who's out for at least half the season with a foot injury. And so basically, you know, he has been a guy that has been standout in these Saints games the last two seasons since he came in the league in 2016. Former LSU guy. And so, you know, not having him in the middle of the defense ready to make that pick six or that game sealing interception that he seems to always make in these Saints games is going to be a big burden for the Falcons to overcome. Duke Riley is their sort of second year player, a fellow LSU alum as well, but he has not had sort of the success that Jones had coming into the league, and sort of has been struggling with some of the reads and the recognition and tackling and whatnot. And so that's going to be a big question mark, whether or not the Falcons need that sort of force in the middle in order to be effective against the Saints offense, particularly when you have a running back like Alvin Kamara, who is a dynamic receiving threat. The expectation from my perspective is that the Falcons will try to limit how many opportunities they put a guy like Riley on Kamara. That's just not a matchup that's conducive for Riley to succeed. And instead, we'll probably wind up putting safety Ricardo Allen on Kamara as much as possible if they choose to go man coverage in this matchup. And, you know, last year going up against the Saints, the Falcons, instead of putting Jones on Kamara, it was primarily strong safety Keanu Neal, who's also out for the season. with an ACL tear suffered in week one. So Allen is going to be the guy that's going to step up into that role, moving from free safety. And you got DeMonte Casey, the second-year player that's sort of sliding into that free safety spot. So the middle of this Falcons defense is a little bit vulnerable due to those injuries to Jones and Neal. And so they're going to really rely on some of these young guys to have to step up and prove that they can, you know, hold their own against the very prolific Saints offense where, you know, Sean Payton and Drew Brees certainly will not take pity on this Falcons defense if they give them the opportunity to pick them apart.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll come back to that, but I think that the Alvin Kamara versus Ricardo Allen / Duke Riley is going to be one of my big matchups to watch. And I agree. I think it's going to be smart. Now, I mean, like, Dan Quinn is a brilliant defensive coach. So there's no way he's going to miss on this and try to match up Duke Riley with Alvin Kamara. So I'll talk a little bit about that later. But, you know, along with the middle of that defense being weak, well, not weak, but weakened because of the injuries, I'm looking at Drew Brees, and I know that sounds cliche to say because, of course, whenever he's on the field, of course you're looking at him. But the thing is that Drew Brees right now quietly is off to one of his best starts to any season that he's played throughout his career. Right now he's got an 81.25 completion percentage, which is just absolutely insane through two games. That's his best of his career over the first two games of the season. 682 yards, which is his third best, only seven behind his best, which is 389. And then has only thrown 80 passing attempts, which is ninth most over two games in his 17-year career. So he's been super... If I can borrow an old Pokemon phrase here, he's been super effective, particularly over these first couple of games. But he hasn't actually been throwing his arm out, which is something that we always fear that here in New Orleans. We're always terrified that Drew Brees is going to throw his arm out because he's throwing 45, 50 passes every game and things like that. But he's not actually having to do that so far this season. So I'm looking to see if that trend continues and if he can continue to, you know, be efficient with the ball. He missed on a couple of really disappointing passes last week against the Browns. Not even deep passes. You know, there was a one that was in the red zone. He just had like a little dump off to Benjamin Watson wide open in the end zone and just overthrew him. And so we want to see that kind of stuff get tightened up. And then I guess the other thing that I'm watching for on the Saints offense is, you know, you talked about before how the Falcons have sort of been hot and cold with the red zone. The Saints have been pretty hot and cold on third down right now. It's been a struggle. And actually, it's been more cold than it's been hot. 3 of 12 against the Browns on third down, 4 of 9 against the Bucks. Over the past two games, though, the Falcons have allowed 8 of 16 against the Eagles and then 5 of 11 against the Panthers. So there's some give there, particularly with the middle of that Falcons defense, that I'm hoping that the Saints will be able to take advantage of to help keep drives alive and keep Drew Brees on the field and Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas on the field as long as possible.
It's going to be interesting. You don't have to remind me that Drew Brees, I'm never worried about Drew Brees throwing his arm out against the Falcons because it just seems like he's just going to carve him up any chance he gets. And the key to sort of stopping Drew Brees for the Falcons is getting pressure on him, because you're right talking about some of his efficiencies. And, you know, the interesting thing with the Falcons defense this week is they played a lot of zone against Carolina, in large part due to Cam Newton's running ability. But one of the questions is going to be this week, are they going to rely that heavily on zone, given they don't have guys like Neal and Jones to be those sort of matchup guys in man coverage against some of these Saints weapons? And will they rely more on zone? But the problem is, given some of the youth that they have at that linebacker position with Duke Riley and rookie Foye Olukun, the 6th-round pick that they just drafted this past year, those guys might be a little bit better at playing man coverage. And so one of the interesting things I'll be curious to see if the Falcons do dial up more man coverage this week, just because it's simpler for those young guys to grasp rather than the sort of more complex zone coverages that they like to employ. Will that mean that the Falcons will be more willing to dial up the blitz if they rely more on that man coverage in order to supplement a pass rush that has some question marks? We don't know as of recording this podcast whether or not Tack McKinley is going to play this week, one of the Falcons' defensive ends. Vic Beasley, mm-hmm. who led the league in sacks 2 years ago but has been lackluster as of late, hasn't been a reliable force for them in the pass rush. Basically, their best pass rush is Grady Jarrett going up against, you know, a pretty solid Saints interior offensive line. And so if they can't get pressure with four guys, are the Falcons going to be forced to dial up more blitzes. And as you mentioned, you know, talking about Matt Ryan's effectiveness against the blitz, Drew Brees has been in the league much longer than Matt Ryan. So it's going to be really hard for the Falcons to really throw some blitzes at him that he's not going to see coming a mile away. And so this sort of, if they play that aggressive style, are they going to get burned on the back end with guys like Michael Thomas, who's given them fits over the last year or two? Ted Ginn is always a threat to you know, take one to the house just because of his ability to take the top off of defense. And again, you have guys like Kamara as well that are great after the catch and can turn a simple 6-yard pass into a 40-yard gain and whatnot. So this Falcons defense has a tough task, and it really starts up front for them. If they can get control of the line of scrimmage with their front four, even if they don't have a player, a key player like Tack McKinley, it's going to be a huge boost for this defense. If they can't control the line of scrimmage, then that's going to give Drew Brees all the time in the pocket. And you know, if you give him enough time, he's just going to pick apart this defense. And it's going to, they're going to need to score, you know, 30, 40 points on offense in order to have a chance to win this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so for us, I mean, you know, the big hope is that when the Saints are on the field on offense, then they have the ball, they are scoring. And then obviously when that defense is on the field, that we see a little bit more of the week three defense that we saw against Carolina last year than, you know, the week one or week two that we've seen so far this year. So we'll see what happens there. But so next up, we're going to be talking about we've got what key matchups and predictions moving forward into the game. But first, you know, you heard Aaron here talk about a couple of different LSU players. You know, the Saints have always been high on Ohio State Buckeyes, in particular Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn Jr., Kurt Coleman, Marshawn Lattimore, all those guys. And you know, if you're interested at all in college football, there's one really great place to get it. And you guessed it. It's right here on the Locked On Network, because the Locked On Network is now expanding with college shows coming this week. Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we're already locked on the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, Cougars. Oh my, just find your favorite college shows on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify.
Hey guys, man, we all love a night out, and whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite football team, you can do so now with Vivid Seats. You can attend any concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. You know, speaking of sporting events, there is such one on Sunday, including the Falcons and Saints, and maybe you want to be there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday, perhaps cheering on the Falcons or the Saints. It's up to you. And you can do that with Vivid Seats. They are the top source for tickets for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section or row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more, and to save you even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use that promo code Locked On for $20 off your order of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter that promo code Locked On for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event.
Love it. I do love me some Vivid Seats. I do love me some Vivid Seats. And if I was in Atlanta right now, that's exactly what I would be using to get to that game, because I would give anything to get to that game right now. Yeah. Because the last two games, yo, last season was crazy when we split that series the way that those two games went.
Yeah. Oh. I remember.
Well, you know, I was just reminding you just in case. No, but I mean, like, that was, it's always such a fun series, the Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints. It's always so much fun when these two teams get together. It is a rivalry. You see it on Twitter all the time. People are spitting hot fire across the way. All Saints fans are talking about how it's F the Falcons week. All Falcons fans are talking about how it's F the Saints week. it's crazy. There's no rivalry like this. So that's one matchup, team to team. But individually, what are some matchups that you're watching throughout this game that you think that, you know, so let's say that you're looking for, obviously you're looking for an Atlanta win here. What matchups do they need to win to make that happen?
Well, I want to pick the Kamara Allen matchup, but I'll go with a different one that we haven't really touched upon yet. That is one of the big matchups going into this game. And that's Julio Jones versus Marshawn Lattimore. And Lattimore is the guy, their number one corner, did a decent job against Julio Jones when you grade it. You have to grade everybody who's covering Julio Jones on a curve with that. And, you know, Falcon fans are particularly upset with Lattimore because he's a little bit, quote unquote, too physical and gets away with a little bit of that physicality. You know, I think that sort of, you kind of have to be a little bit physical if you're going to try to match up with Julio Jones. So I don't get too upset with that. But it seems like Lattimore has been called a little bit more for that stuff this year that he was a little bit getting away with last year. And so he's had some breakdowns going up against Mike Evans in week one. So one of the things I'm interested to see is sort of if the Falcons really do attack Lattimore this week, as they did a couple of times, and particularly in that first game. Going back last year, they like to move Julio Jones around, put him in the slot, and see if Lattimore follows him into the slot. If he doesn't, then you can pretty much guarantee that Lattimore is going to go, or Julio, the Falcons are going to go right at Julio on that given play. And also, because of the issues that the Saints have had the last couple of weeks, giving up the deep ball, I think they'll also be unafraid to sort of, you know, push the ball down the field and see if they can test Lattimore a little bit more this week.
Yeah, absolutely. He certainly hasn't really inspired too much confidence with his performance week one. But he did fare a little bit better in his performance week two. But, you know, the Browns had just shipped off, or not shipped off, but preparing to ship off Josh Gordon and everything. And so Jarvis Landry wasn't really, you know, Marshawn Lattimore's focal point during that game because he had prepped for Josh Gordon. So that was the whole thing. But yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're looking at Julio Jones right now, who hasn't. I believe he hasn't caught a touchdown so far. is that right? No, but I'm not even digging. I'm not even digging. I'm just saying I don't want his first touchdown to be against the Saints.
No, all I hear about with Julio Jones is how many touchdowns he has. So it's just funny to me that it always comes up somewhere.
It always comes up. I know it. But I mean, look, it doesn't make him any less effective a weapon or anything like that. And then he, you know, you have to game plan for him. He draws the entire defense's attention away. And then all of a sudden you've got players like Tevin Coleman, Mohamed Sanu, and now Calvin Ridley that are just sprinting downfield with the ball because you done spent too much time paying attention to Julio Jones. So it doesn't make him any less effective. But I'm just saying, I don't want his first touchdown of the season to come against New Orleans.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, I'd like to keep that from happening.
What's the matchup that you're focused on?
Well, the big one, of course, is what I sort of alluded to earlier, is Alvin Kamara versus it's probably going to end up being Ricardo Allen. But if there ever comes a point to where they manage to get the mismatch on Duke Riley, that's the thing that, you know, Drew Brees and Sean Payton are so good at, is exploiting those kinds of matchups and creating those mismatches. And so look for them to create that kind of a mismatch for Alvin Kamara. Last week, Ricardo Allen did guard Christian McCaffrey, who has a little bit of a similar skill set, or not more than a little bit. He's got a similar skill set, but he held him, in terms of him guarding him, three of three for only 21 yards. Meanwhile, Duke Riley in primary coverage allowed 5 catches on 7 targets for 73 yards and a touchdown. So obviously the more advantageous matchup for the Saints and Alvin Kamara is to get him set up with Duke Riley. But if he gets set up with Ricardo Allen, it's going to be a little bit more of a test for him. And so he's got to be able to overcome that and then, you know, create plays the way that he does. You know, he's known for turning 4-yard plays into 12-yard plays. So we have to see if he's going to be able to repeat that same performance. He started off 19 touches against the Bucks, 19 touches against the Browns, which are single game highs for him as compared to last season. So we'll see what he's able to make happen this year coming up against the Falcons week 3.
Yeah, I think even if the Falcons don't rely on sort of their man coverage to try to get Allen in on Kamara as much as possible, I still think because if the Falcons rely too much on zone coverage, the Saints are smart enough to sort of find ways to exploit that and sort of flood their zones with certain route concepts and see if they can get those young guys like Riley, like Foye Olukun, out of position and take advantage of that. So certainly I think that's going to be a matchup to key on. Basically, I think if you have Kamara on your fantasy team, you should definitely start him this week because he's going to see a lot of touches. McCaffrey saw, I think, 13 catches last week. So, you know, if Kamara breaks any one of those, you know, if he gets the same amount of workload, then if he breaks any one of those for a big gain, then you're going to have a lot of fantasy points on your regard for, you know, you guys out there looking for fantasy tips.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're in a PPR league. That's the one. That's the guy you're looking at right there. Sorry. So let's go ahead and close out, man. This has been so much fun, but unfortunately, we're getting close on time here. So predictions, just for reference, the Falcons right now are favored at -3, and the over-under is set at 53. What are you looking at for this game?
This is tough because I was down on the Falcons last week, and I feel like it'd be easy for me to get up on the Falcons a little bit too much after a win. So I feel like the Falcons will find a way to really exploit that Saints defense and find a way to win it. These Saints games don't tend to be as much the shootouts as you probably would think on paper. So if I was going with a score prediction, I would go something like 27-23 Falcons.
Are you really? That's your prediction?
Yeah.
That's so funny. So I wanted to keep it interesting. So I know that the Saints struggled the first 2 weeks, but last year they really picked up stride week 3 on an away game against a division opponent when they took on the Panthers. And so I'm hoping that they're going to be able to do the same thing there in Atlanta. And so I've got the under here, but I've got the Saints winning 28-24. How funny is that?
Yeah, there you go.
That's good. I'm glad we're able to keep it interesting, but like, it's nice. Yeah. Like we're looking at it right around the same range between 50, 52 points, somewhere around there. Not necessarily a shootout, but it's sure to be an entertaining game. And everything. And I'm glad, we'll get to do this again before Christmas Eve. Before Thanksgiving, how good is that? Right.
Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Get me away from the family for at least 30 minutes. Right.
Absolutely, man. I got you. All right, so any final thoughts or anything like that for your listeners, my listeners, anything?
No, I think this is gonna be a fun game, and they always are. And don't go too hard on Saints fans, Falcon fans this week. You got to save some for Thanksgiving.
Save it for Thanksgiving. That's right. That's absolutely right. All right, everybody. So all of you that are listening, thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. And then, of course, at the Locked On Saints handle at Locked On Saints. And then, Aaron, tell everybody where they can hit you up, man.
Yeah, I'm at Falk Fans on Twitter, FalcFans. And you can also find me tweeting some stuff and on Locked On Falcons Twitter handle as well. And you can send in all your questions and comments. And if you're Saints fans out there and you just want to talk some trash a little bit this week, then, I'm all open for that as well.
Ooh, invite me. See, he's just like getting my mentions. That's what I want. I'm gonna extend that out there to you too. You got any Falcons fans, go ahead and get in my mentions. Go ahead and get my SEO up.
I don't know if you want that heat. I don't know if I want that either.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people coming at me, and that's a home game and everything. So, I'm gonna sit down. I'm gonna be humble. Thank y'all so much for listening, everybody. Thank y'all so much for coming through. This has been our Crossover Wednesday, Locked On Falcons, Locked On Saints, and we'll do this again sometime around Thanksgiving. Y'all take care and have a safe one if you're going to the game, and we will talk to y'all soon.
See you guys. There you have it, guys. Locked On Crossover in the books. What else is there to say? Tomorrow we're going to have our Q&A. We might do a fan talk tomorrow. I don't know. I'm trying to decide whether or not. Send in your questions and we'll figure it out, right? So if you have questions, send them in to either FalcFans, that's my Twitter handle, or the show's Twitter handle. That's probably the easiest way to do it, Locked On Falcons. Also send in an email address, lockedonfalcons@mail.com. That's a good way of hitting me up there. As well as on Facebook, you can message me there. Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. Give us a like while you're there. Also, be sure to follow Locked On Falcons on Twitter, guys. We had Kevin Knight from the Falcoholic Live come on the show yesterday, throw down the gauntlet, talking about getting those Twitter followers up there for Falcoholic Live on Twitter. Come on, guys. Like, right now I'm in the lead, but we can't slip on this. If you're listening to the show right now, follow Locked On Falcons on Twitter. If you're not even on Twitter, join Twitter. Just so you can follow Locked On Falcons. I want to see that follower count get boosted. I want to see like 20 new follows by the end of this week. What are you guys doing if you're not doing it? I know there's more than 853 people listening to this podcast. I know that for a fact. So anyway, that's the plan. We might do a fan talk tomorrow. We might do a Q&A tomorrow. But either way, whichever one we don't do tomorrow, we'll do on Friday. So that's all good to go. And then we'll be back Monday to do the rapid reaction on the Saints game and keep it rolling, I guess. So there you have it, guys. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.